Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Direct from Broadway, It Should Have Been You open stages St. Louis's 30th anniversary season. The musical about a madcap wedding celebration makes its Midwestern premiere June 3rd. St. Louis on the Air contributor Steve Potter sat down with four cast members.
Zoe Vonderhaar, John Flack, Steve Isom, and Carrie Ely. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Zoe, I have to start with you, and I find the numbers hard to believe. This is Stage's 30th anniversary season, and your 64th production with Stages?
It is, yes. I actually was supposed to be in the first year and then got pregnant, but that's how I remember how old my daughter is. I remember how old Stages is, and I can figure her out.
64 productions. Would it be fair to ask you what your favorite one was?
Do you remember
all of them?
I do. I couldn't tell you what year. I have to look at my mugs to tell you what year things were. I don't have a favorite. There's so many favorites.
Well, Carrie, what about you? I guess you go back almost 24 years, right?
With Stages? 24 seasons, right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Do you remember all of those?
I have snippets of memory of each show. Yeah.
Well, Steve and John, you were both in the Full Monty last season together.
Correct. Right. Indeed.
Well, how long does your history with Stages go back?
I think I'm the youngster here. I've only been here 22 years, Steve.
Wow.
But 58 productions. At the end of the season, it'll be 58.
And John?
My first year was 1991. And in case you're wondering how that's possible, I was in kindergarten that year.
Exactly.
Well, that's when you started Snoopy,
no,
right?
That's correct. My very first show there, I played the role of Snoopy, the title role in the musical Snoopy. And I have to say, that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed that. Actually, the very first production I was ever in my life, I played Snoopy. So it was neat that I kind of got to.
Yeah, you dog, yeah, you. Yeah.
So between the four of you, it's like over 100 years with Stages, right?
That's right, Steve.
You people are old.
I don't know things by years. I only know that I started about 5 pounds ago.
I was going to say it's 100 years and 100 pounds ago. Yeah.
It Should Have Been You ran on Broadway. I think it was for not quite 6 months last year. So I guess it's safe to say that most of us haven't seen it.
No, I think this is the first production after Broadway to be done anywhere. If you didn't see that first run on Broadway, then this is your chance.
There was also no national tour produced of the show. It went straight to regional productions, and Stages St. Louis has the very first regional production of It Should Have Been You.
Does that just happen by chance?
I don't believe so. I believe our executive producer, Jack Lane, pulled a lot of strings and exerted some influence.
I do believe you're right.
Jack's been producing shows on Broadway, and so I think he has a lot more connections there now. And
on the Broadway version, David Hyde Pierce, I think that was from Frasier. That was his directing debut, I think.
Yes.
Right. Yes. So did anyone here see it on Broadway?
No.
I did not.
They showed a little bit of it on the Tonys, but I think that's the
right,
only thing I've seen.
Right, that's all I saw.
Tyne Daly, of course, was the star of it.
Right, right.
So it was all new to us. We sat down and actually had a table read on the second day of rehearsal. And hearing everybody read the words, and we laughed ourselves silly. It's a funny show.
It's funny and it's complicated because it takes place around a wedding, and we know how funny and complicated those can be. Mm-hmm. So I want to share the opening number, so let's set it up. We're all at a hotel the morning of a wedding. What's going on?
It's the morning. We're all getting ready, and you get little snippets of all the different characters. I find it very noises off kind of feeling. It's a very fast pace, a lot of doors slamming.
People in and out. Yeah.
In and out with music. And it's a lot of fun.
All right, this day.
A mother's work is never done when her daughter's getting married. I still got errands left to run and Devon has to do my hair. Seating chart, what was I thinking? Keep an eye on Sheila's drinking. Worrying's okay. My baby's getting married on this day. I'm gonna go check on your sister.
Why don't you call Rebecca first? Give her a chance to run away. Hello? Incoming!
No.
Incoming? I think I'm dying. My pulse is racing. I'm close to death.
Now don't start crying and stop your pacing. Just take a breath.
What are the symptoms of anaphylactic shock? I'll never make it through this day.
How's my girl? Is she okay?
I'm good.
My darling, precious child. My beautiful, innocent little virgin.
Mother, I'm not...
Let me have my fantasy, please. Are you ready for our big day?
Ready as I'll ever be.
Good. And remember, we're all having our hair done at 10. I tell what's-his-name, it's bad luck to see the bride before the ceremony.
My mother's psychic.
Your mother's psycho.
What else is new? Brian, your being here is bad luck.
And Kenny Ahura, it'll all be fine.
Did you just say Kenahara?
Yeah, I picked up a Yiddish phrase book to impress your parents.
Like a lamb to slaughter. We're the best man and co-maid of honor.
They're getting dressed.
Best rehearsal dinner ever!
Check. Now, you two, show me some lovin' to remind me why I'm doing all of this. That's what I'm talking about.
Stages St. Louis presents It Should Have Been You, opening June 3rd. We're talking with the cast members Carrie Ely, Steve Isom, John Flack, and Zoe Vonderhaar. Rebecca and Brian, that's the couple.
Yes.
What do we know about them? Well, Zoe, you're the mom.
Well, I am the mother of Rebecca. We are a Jewish family, and they are not.
I am the mother of Brian. And I think mothers-in-law in general are probably terribly misunderstood.
Are you just saying that now?
Yes. But we have a good time. You know, that opening song that you just heard introduces all the different characters, and you see how different they are. And they're each in their own little room or in their own level of the hotel. But Zoe and I have a chance to go at it a little bit later in the show.
Yeah, I'm going to ask you about that later. But you kind of come toe-to-toe,
toe-to-cuff,
whatever the expression
fisticuffs.
Is. Fisticuffs, thank you.
Just about.
Just about.
Who's Uncle Morty, John?
That would be me. Uncle Morty is a kind of a wacky uncle with a few memory problems.
Who
doesn't quite understand what's going on. He would be Rebecca's great uncle, so an elderly uncle.
My uncle.
They're correct. He doesn't quite know what's going on. And what's kind of neat about that opening number, you can feel how fast and frenetic it is. And this show just hits the ground running and never lets up.
Never stops.
It has that same kind of energy through the entire production.
And Steve, who's Walt?
Walt is one of the valued members of the staff at the St. George Hotel.
Oh.
And there are three of us that are sort of wedding planners, led by Albert, who was played by Ed Huvier. And we're the ones that have to deal with all the madness and mess that happens during the show.
So what kind of hotel is this? And is this one of these big, fancy, expensive weddings?
Big, fancy, expensive wedding. Yes.
I think the St. George is standing in for the Plaza Hotel in New York, if you're familiar with
uh-huh,
that one.
Right.
So.
Well, you know, weddings are generally or can be a really big event. So is this an extra large cast? How's that working?
Strangely, no. It's a small cast, I think, for stages. 17 people.
Yeah, totally.
I believe.
Nine
local actors, St. Louis actors, including the four of us, and 8 folks from New York.
The show really concentrates on those characters and the staff and how they relate to each other and the story that is unfolding throughout the entire play.
I think it must be interesting because don't we all have our different perspectives on attending weddings and all the strange things that happen? So I'm just guessing you all bring your own little, you all have something in your head about some weddings that you went to.
Indeed. You get to see a lot of different perspectives and a lot of, in a very humorous light.
I think this spoofs just about every situation you can think of in a wedding.
Just about everything that can go wrong. Does.
The wedding from hell, I think. Can I say that on the radio?
You just did.
I just did. Sorry.
Rebecca, the bride, finds out, or I should say Rebecca's ex, finds out about the wedding. And, you know, that's not a good thing, right?
Well, it does put a wrinkle in the proceedings, to be sure.
It adds a whole new storyline.
I think it's good to say right now that there are a lot of huge surprises in this show, which we're not going to give away. But the show is full of twists. When we were doing that first reading, I found myself gasping several times at the things that happened during the show. It's a lot of fun.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of that.
There's some really interesting numbers that tell stories in this. Like there's one back in the day where Brian, who is the groom, is talking with his dad.
His dad, played by David Schmidto, who is also a regular at Stages.
Right.
Stages has really created quite a company, and so there are a lot of us that are coming back and a lot of new members, too, that are they're really terrific.
So what's that scene about, Brian and his dad?
Do we want to say?
Don't say too much.
Well, I think the boys have a bonding moment.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say.
They weren't as close as maybe as father and son could have been.
Exactly.
And you find that the songs come out of the story, come out of the character, and the lyrics further the story and have more information in it. Mm-hmm. So some are a little old-fashioned-y, some are very modern. All the songs have sort of a different feel to them.
As many father-son relationships, are complicated, and I think they're trying to work this out in the old song and dance way, and it's literally a song and dance number as they try to do the song and dance of a father and son relationship.
And that opening song that we heard just a few minutes ago, I think they made some reference to the women getting their hair and makeup done, and that's a funny scene, isn't it?
It's a very funny scene, yes. Carrie and I and the daughters and the bridesmaids all getting our hair done, and Carrie and I attempt to have a bonding moment, shall we say.
Getting to know you.
But religion is a problem for you too, right? I mean, the differences in both your faiths.
It's more cultural than religion,
right,
isn't
right.
it?
Right, It's not really a major issue. It's just trying to learn how to balance things and
personalities.
And put it all together.
And how personalities clash.
So you probably don't know each other that well? Would that be right?
They're just really meeting first time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that scene would be the night or the morning after the rehearsal dinner, which I'm assuming is when I met you. Mm-hmm. Right. And already I do not care for you, shall we say.
Well, I wonder why.
Because there is a vicious insult behind every word out of your mouth, to quote my character.
And once again, I just say horribly misunderstood.
Well, do Uncle Morty and do Walt have any problems with anybody? Is there any conflict there?
Walt's problems are mostly interior, Steve. He's got some issues about confidence.
There you go.
Uncle That's Morty just wants everyone to be happy and to be married to the right person.
And to figure out where
to figure out exactly where he is and who he's talking to.
You want everyone to be married to the right person. That's an interesting insight into the plot, which we won't get into. But talking around it, though, that's sort of what a lot of it really is about.
Not unlike comedy since the beginning of time.
Right. Not unlike life.
We maybe start off being mismatched, but it is a comedy and has a happy ending, so everyone ends up.
It's a lot about not judging a book by its cover, and
which we all do, don't we?
We certainly do.
Well, somehow they get through this wedding thing, and then it goes on to the reception.
And more of the story is revealed there. But we're not giving anything away.
The story does not end when they say I do. Let me put it to you that way.
Well, at some point, doesn't Rebecca, the bride, kind of go AWOL or missing or something?
They all kind of go AWOL.
There is a scene where she hides in the bathroom. Yes, I think that's true.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about the show is I think it accelerates. This show gets very fast and complicated towards the end. It starts off kind of where you're meeting everybody, and then it just picks up speed all the way to the very end.
Yeah. And at the reception, maybe this is pretty on the point, too. I mean, some people are very happy at the reception, but not everyone is.
Not everyone.
Not everyone.
Well, there are more secrets to be revealed at the reception.
It's so up and down, and you're happy, you're not happy, you're confused. Steve kind of told us on the first day that it's a running train, and if you fall off, good luck.
It's a Steve Burnoff, the director.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And it's a very fast show. This show is only an hour and a half with no intermission.
Oh, really?
It is funny, and it goes from the beginning to the end.
The bride and groom at some point get a little alone time. I guess it's between the wedding and the reception, right?
Yes, of course, as is traditional.
Is it 10 minutes that they're in a room and not supposed to be bothered?
And that they don't.
But somebody does bother them.
Indeed, yes, of course.
Because nothing happens like it's supposed to in the
It's a farcical musical comedy, so naturally they are interrupted by just about everyone, and I believe the meddling mother-in-law included.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Then there are some things that happen after that, and we're not going to reveal it. But what would you like to say about it without giving away too much?
I think it's going to take
the audience by surprise, the plot twist, don't you?
I think it's a coming-of-age story. I think it's about people finding themselves in that hour-and-a-half journey on stage and deciding who they are and what they want, and deciding that that's what they're going to go after.
I also have a moment where I say, it's love, and there is no it's supposed to be.
Right.
So what you think you're supposed to be doing, there is no.
And I think it also is about wacky family relationships and who supports you and who loves you and
right.
And what do you have?
And expectations of how people are going to react to certain situations, which then doesn't turn out that way. So
right.
Maybe we should say something about Stacy and Jeff, the actors who played the bride and groom.
Well,
they're lovely,
young and talented. And
we hate them.
<That'd> be, charming.
They were just like us at the beginning.
That's Stacey Bono and Jeff Sears, right?
Yes. Correct.
Uh-huh. And, they're both, this is their first show.
They're
here.
Making right. their debut at stages with yes. this show, indeed.
Does anybody have a favorite scene?
My goodness. Well, I like the title song scene. It should have been you scene. That one is fun for me.
The opening really is
the opening number is a lot of fun.
I do have a song toward the end that is growing to be one of my favorite songs, which I don't want to give too much of that away either, but it's a lovely song.
And I also want to say Claire Manship, who plays the other Rebecca's sister, Jenny, yes. is lovely, and she, you know, all of these characters are making this journey together. They're discovering something about themselves, and it's a terrific cast.
These people all have amazing voices. They are so amazing. Talented. I'm very excited about the cast. Yeah. I think it's one of the most talented casts we've ever had at stages. Just the singing voices alone are
absolutely
magnificent.
And it really is a small cast where everybody is really important.
Yeah.
There's not technically there's a star, I guess, but not really. You know, everybody has a really big part and everybody's incredibly talented.
I'll go back to something I said earlier. I think people really relate to it because I think everybody has a funny feelings about weddings. I mean, a lot of people like to go. I know a lot of people that avoid them like the plague, but no matter how you but everybody's got a definite idea about how they feel about a wedding, don't you think?
I think so. Yeah, and those kinds of feelings do play a big part in the plot, in the story of this, about how people's preconceived notions about coming to the wedding, about their point of view about the couple getting married, about weddings in general, all play a part in the plot and in the plot twists.
And I think a lot of people, you know, like we talk about mothers-in-laws and the brides, they want a perfect wedding. It's got to be a storybook perfect wedding. Mm-hmm. And there really is no such thing. And it's certainly not in this musical comedy at all.
Especially with the complication of one Jewish family and one Christian family coming
right.
together and you know, sharing their traditions and what do you do? I mean, you know, they're both so, so different.
And holding it all together is the wedding planner.
Yeah.
That's my favorite number yes. of the show. There's a number called Albert's Turn where in which Ed Huvier, playing Albert, explains how he does his wedding magic, and he's hilarious.
Backed up by Steve Isom and Michelle Burnett Elmore. Yeah.
So I'm just curious, before we go, I'm just curious how you really feel about weddings. Do you like to go? Do you like to go to weddings?
As long as they're not my own.
I like to go to weddings. I do.
I like to go to the reception.
I love weddings as long as I don't have to sing Ave Maria again.
Thank you all for being here.
Oh, not at all.
That was Steve Potter speaking with Zoe Vonderhaar, Carrie Ely, Steve Isom, and John Flack about their roles in Stages St. Louis's season opener, It Should Have Been You. The production opens next Friday night at 8 and continues through July 3rd in the Robert Rhyme Theater in the Kirkwood Civic Center. You can find more details at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll have a holiday rebroadcast of two discussions about Harry S. Truman and his presidency. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards, Alex Hoyer, and Kelly Moffitt, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr, Kim Oswalt, and Spencer Reed. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Arts and culture programming on St. Louis on the Air is funded in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.
this.